RTI.
Well, welcome back, boys and girls, ladies and gentlemen, and anybody else who might be listening. We've got a really interesting point here. I don't know how you feel about this, Mark. I think it's a bit strange. Actually, I don't know how deeply this really needs to be taken. But I'll just read it out boldly. I think this is the headline out of the Daily Telegraph. Foreigners banned from the House of Commons.
How amazing, isn't it? Really?
Is that reality? I'll tell you what the story's saying. That foreigners have been banned from Big Ben over fears of an Al-Qaeda spectacular.
Yeah.
Fear that terrorists could pose as tourists and blow up the London landmark, Big Ben, and why specifically Big Ben? So anyway, the House of Commons have barred anyone who isn't born in the UK. All right, I know this is a draconian age and draconian measures have to be taken, but that's a bit shocking, isn't it?
No, it's just absolutely amazing. I mean, there's no doubt. I mean, it must be a huge target to be able to get that. But you're quite right. I mean, surely, I mean, that sort of, you know, indicates a victory to terrorists in the fact that we have to take such extreme measures. Are they really doing that? I'm just amazed. I'm just really quite amazed. I'd like to see some kind of confirmation other than those, you know, couple of newspaper reports. I've seen it in a Daily Mirror report as well.
Well, wait, who do you want to confirm it other than whoever the newspaper spoke to? Or spoke to the House of Commons? Or spoke to the police?
Oh, really? And they've... Sorry,
I... Oh, no, they don't just make it up, do they? Come along, you said it to say.
The House of Commons...
Let's have everybody banned from the House of Commons. I tell you what, that doesn't even work out on the Daily Star or anybody.
So...
You know what you're saying? That's like saying the... boss on the moon! Like... Yeah, honestly.
But does that mean that anybody who's come over for their tourist holiday and thought they'd go to see some of the London landmarks are now not going to be permitted to? And are they going to extend this to other London landmarks as well?
Well, I don't know. I don't know. It's an amazing story. I mean, you know, it just is.
We better just stop them all coming in at Heathrow and send them back. It's the easiest way then.
Well, no, yeah, you get your Nicholas Farage hat off.
Quite agree. I think it's absurd.
I think also you've got to really temper this with what is going on, though. And, you know, obviously Britain is in one of the biggest terrorism alerts ever. You know, it's a run-up to Christmas, etc. And so we are in danger. And we've even actually got what are described as SAS hit squads protecting packed shopping centres all over England. And they've actually been given the orders to shoot to kill.
That's just amazing.
Yeah, that's how bad things are. It's how bad things are. You know, even Coronation Street, that venerable old age of soap in Britain, who's celebrating its 50th anniversary. They even had a ring of steel around the Coronation Street place where they make it, studio.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's how bad it is, man.
And of course, I mean, on the other hand, I mean, I suppose if there was some incident at a shopping centre or some tourist place, and then they say, well, yes, we knew about it, but we decided not to take this kind of extreme action, everybody will be asking for their heads. So they're in a very difficult position. And maybe it's to their credit that, you know, the majority of people in their day-to-day lives don't maybe appreciate the extent of these terror alerts. Maybe that shows that maybe there's a job being well done.
I think you're absolutely right. I know when the IRA blew up Marks and Spencers in Manchester a long time ago, probably about 12, 15 years ago. I was in Manchester then. And luckily, it was an horrendous thing to happen. But nobody knew. Nobody knew. And if these shopping centres, these shopping malls, which have thousands and hundreds of thousands of people there in one go, what a place to hit. It is absolutely terrifying that these things can happen. But fair enough, our security forces are out on the streets, and good luck to them. May they do their job and do it properly, and may they protect us and protect themselves.
That's certainly true.
Right, are we moving on?
Yes, let's move
shall
on.
We do does something wiki this way come.
Well, yeah, I mean, what a story, and I have to say, it really starts to worry me, I just feel that there's something not quite right. What do you think about it all?
It's difficult to say, isn't it? It really is. In principle, my principle is very simple, that there has to be freedom of speech. And this is actually when you look at things, you think, well, yeah, at this stage, all you can say is that WikiLeaks and Mr. Assange have actually brought truth to the world where that in the past hasn't been. All of a sudden, the corridors of power don't have these secret pockets of information that we as the people who elected them and people who are on the streets while they've got guns out looking after us have not been allowed to see. Yeah. Where I don't think that WikiLeaks have actually brought anything to its knees that could really undermine our security, or do you think they have?
No, all I notice, you know, from what I see in the press is that, you know, that we've got a lot of embarrassed diplomats, and in fact, it's, yeah. You know, quite uncomfortable truths seem to be revealed. For instance, this idea that there was a way to mislead Parliament and to allow cluster bombs to be stored on British-controlled territory. If that's the kind of thing that's being revealed, then keep on revealing it. I think that we really need to know. I think it's shocking that these things have been done. So
yeah,
good for WikiLeaks from that point of view.
Yeah. So you don't agree in any way with all the doomsayers who are saying that that Assange should be banished from the world, that this should be stopped immediately.
I don't agree with them because so far I don't see any evidence that it's actually causing any real damage. And I'm sure if there was real evidence, we'd know about it. You know, we'd really know about it, because I'm sure that it's in the interest of the United States and the United Kingdom to try and paint this as black a picture as possible. And they're just not able to at the moment.
No, I know. It's funny, isn't it? What do you think about this thing that happened with PayPal and... the credit card, that's...
I think the attacks on them, you know, well, I mean, those things are against the law, so we have to say, don't try those at home. I run a huge website, and we wouldn't welcome any attacks. On the other hand, I have to say that PayPal's decision and MasterCard's decision, you know, to stop receiving money, to stop receiving funds for WikiLeaks, you know, is really quite extraordinary. And one has to wonder, you know, why are they doing this? This is quite amazing. And for me, you know, it seems to me, well, because somewhere in the corridors of power, the dirty tricks departments have been at it again. And if they're able to hide the existence of cluster bombs being kept in San Diego, British-controlled property, British-controlled land, then they're certainly capable of exercising these kind of dirty tricks. I think there's something really not sitting very comfortably here.
I'm going to ask you the million-dollar question here, right? Because I've not found anybody who can answer it. I'm assuming you will be able to. I can answer it if you can't.
Yes.
What's the history of WikiLeaks? Where's it suddenly come from? How long has it been about? Who runs it? Who's involved in it? Where does it get its power from? Where does it get its leaks from? Why has nobody ever said anything about WikiLeaks?
Well, isn't that quite amazing? Yes. I mean, all I know about Julian Assange is that apparently when he was in Australia, when he was an adolescent, he took an interest in computers and hacking, started to get, you know, very involved in this idea that there should be transparency. And I read somewhere, but I think it was on a Wikipedia page, that they reckon that he actually sort of, you know, wrote the original rules, if you like, for sort of hacking, about how, you know, you should be able to access information but not damage it at all.
Well, look, here you go. I can't remember which newspaper this was, but it was one of Britain's national newspapers said, there is a dangerous nihilism in the refusal to distinguish between information that embarrasses the powerful and information that potentially puts lives at risk. And I agree with it. But this is a newspaper. You see, you mentioned before that it appears that the British press are sitting on the fence. What they're not doing is, oh, they are sitting on the fence, but while they find out what the truth is, whether what is actually being said and done is right or wrong. But there's something that everybody's forgetting. They, you know, Assange and WikiLeaks have been made out to be the real enemies of society.
Yeah, and I don't think they are.
Listen to this, right? This is what nobody's ever looked into. I'm sure people have, but I ain't seen it published, right? WikiLeaks won in the year 2008, right?
Yes.
WikiLeaks won the Economist magazine New Media Award, right? Now, that is very, very part of society. In June of 2009, Julian Assange and WikiLeaks won Amnesty International's UK Media Award. Mm. Right? 2008, going back to 2008, they won another award. The New York Daily News listed WikiLeaks first in a ranking of websites that could totally change the news. There you have it. Now, all of a sudden, from WikiLeaks has gone from being something which is being assuaged by the doyens of the media to become an enemy of not only the state, but the world.
Yeah, well, I think the message here is that if you annoy the wrong people, bad things happen. And I think that Julian Assange has annoyed, you know, the wrong people. And, you know, they're not necessarily the good people. They want us to be seen as being the good people. But I think that he's strayed into dangerous territory. The newspapers seem to be sitting on the fence. You're quite right. But actually, I have to say, I go a little bit more critical of that. It looks to me as if they're waiting to see which way to jump. And I don't think it does them any favours.
I couldn't agree with you more. I agree with you 100%. Yeah. Mm. Yeah, because, well, the thing is, Mark, at this moment, you were asking me before how a news desk would find out whether a story was true or not. You know, we were talking about the riots. And the way a news desk finds out is by checking things out. And unfortunately, in this case, there aren't many places to go to check it out, apart from government offices that aren't going to tell you whether it's right or wrong, and WikiLeaks, which is already under pressure to prove its own veracity.
Well, don't forget, we've already got, you know, quite a number of, you know, sort of very decent personalities in this world, including, for instance, John Pilger, a very powerful person and crusader for transparency, who has decided which way to jump and has gone behind WikiLeaks. So, you know, it's not such a difficult problem.
It is, because John Pilger is a bloke who has made his name, he's been around, he's in the dotage of his career. Sorry, John, but you are a bit, like, you know, and he has the power and the influence to actually be a bit like journalistic Teflon. He can come down on any side he wants and he'll still survive because his reasoning and thoughts seem to be fairly reasonable. And, but the general hoi polloi journalist has to go with the general attitude of his news desk and his editor. And at the moment, you're quite right, journalists don't know which way to jump on this. And one reason is because of these sexual charges against Assange.
Yeah, because that was a bit of genius, wasn't it? Whoever thought that up, I'm saying thought that up. I suppose that assumes that maybe they are trumped up. I don't know. But certainly that has helped to make things a bit difficult for people who would like to side with WikiLeaks.
The thing is, the man is now has been held over these. He was cleared of the public prosecutor said he hadn't got any charges. Now, genuinely, I have no idea of whether new evidence has come up, and I don't think anything's really been written about it. So we've got to be careful what we say about Mr. Assange and these charges. But if it's proved that these charges are real and the whole of the information comes out, then people can make a decision on which way they go. At the moment, it's very difficult to make a decision on which way to go because we're not sure about the veracity of what's going on WikiLeaks. And we're not sure of what effect it is. So I think this is journalists being sensible.
Well,
let me
just say one thing, and that is, why on earth has he not been granted bail? That seems amazing to me. I mean, this is a man who's so well known. He's got nowhere to go. He surrendered himself to custody. And in an extradition procedure, they don't even provide any evidence that there is some substance to the charge. And despite that, he's been described as being a flight risk, kept in prison on remand. That seems extraordinary to me.
That's part of the romance that's been built up around him, isn't it?
Well, I don't find it very romantic.
He is to some people. He's become this like Robin Hood figure.
Well, or Ned Kelly, I have to say. Robin Hood is probably better.
Right, let's move on because we're running out of time rapidly, old chap. Let's move. Oh, I think this is so sweet. Yeah. If you've got a little nativity scene or, you know, a little display outside your house or even in your church or whatever, and it's a little nativity, you've got little baby Jesus, like the little baby the Milo lying next to me, William, right? And somebody comes along and nicks it, right? It's gone forever, hasn't it? But now there is a new sat-nav application, which means that you can have your little baby Jesus tagged, and if somebody nicks it, you can find it again. Now, I think that's a wonderful innovation for Christmas, don't you?
Well, how amazing. And we're all trying to find Jesus, of course, so this is going to be substantially a help. I have to say, I've got a similar kind of thing in my telephone, and I don't know if I'm allowed to sort of mention a particular company, but
don't mention the company.
I won't mention the company, but there is a very interesting company that produces an application. If your telephone gets stolen, you can then send it SMS messages, and it will respond back to you and tell you where it is. It will respond back to you and tell you what phone calls are being made from it. If a new SIM card is put in, it'll respond back and tell you what the number of the new SIM card is. It's really quite amazing. Absolutely. Yeah.
Can I have one of them?
I'll fix you up with one straight away.
No, I'll tell you. No, I'm interested in that. Yeah. Mind you, nobody's ever nicked my phone.
Well.
I just think it's nice. Yeah, I just think it's funny that you could actually have a sat-nav to take you to Jesus now. Yeah, it could actually become one of Elvis's best-known songs, the sat-nav to God. Yeah, lovely. Yeah, here's one for you. For love and money.
Yes.
That's number six on your list, dear.
I'm looking at
it. Do you think that's all we've got through? Six subjects.
It's because we've got too much to say. Here we are. Here we get a man. Why did he do this? I really don't know. A voucher code website decided apparently to carry out an interesting experiment, and they sent a man off to central London, and he stood there for 4 hours with a wallet full of cash and a sandwich board, which not saying beware doom and gloom, but instead said in large letters, ask me for £5 and so he's standing there trying to give money away. And apparently nearly 3,000 people walked past him, and only 16 people said, oh, I'll have one of those fivers.
You know what? I'd have walked past 16 times. I would. Honestly, I'd have had myself 300 quid.
Absolutely. And I would have sent the kids along as well.
Yeah.
Cranky.
I know, but I said that was the... I can't remember who did it now, but it was done first in America, wasn't it, where people tried to give away free money and nobody trusted the free money. Well, it's funny that, like... they counted that 2,000, almost 3,000 people walked by this bloke. And out of all of them, like you say, only 16 actually took the cash.
Yeah.
Well, all right, this website, I'm not even going to dignify it by giving the name out of this website, because I don't think they're actually doing anything particularly to help. Yeah, but it's led me to have a look at different things that I'm not very sure of, and I'm sure you are, like cashback websites.
Yeah, well, we have quite a number of people on the Consumer Action Group talking about these things, and, you know, offering, telling people where these vouchers are and so forth. And, you know, I mean, I suppose it's not a bad thing if you can collect these vouchers and cash them in. But of course, I suppose that maybe some people end up buying more than they would have done otherwise. Well, I think that you can log on and sign in and register, and then you get a code, and you can put a code in if you're buying online, or you can actually ask for the vouchers to be posted to you. But of course, a lot of it is about information gathering, isn't it? And I suppose they get your email address, they get your address, they find out about your shopping patterns, and you.
So, would you recommend doing it or not?
Why not, quite frankly, I have to say. Well, you know, I don't like having junk mail and so forth, and people approaching me all the time. But, you know, if there are really some bargains to be had, I think that could be helpful to a lot of people. I think one of the things to do really is to look around the internet and see which of these bargains really seem to be real and which one of them just don't seem to be giving a lot of value for money. I don't think that's automatically a bad thing.
What about cashback on credit cards?
I don't really know what a cashback credit card is, actually. Well, how does it work?
No, I'm just reading it now. There's a way to get some cashback credit cards. As with the word websites, you earn a percentage of the money you spend back in cashback. So if you spend a tenner, you get X amount, like 1.5%
back. Well, I mean, the supermarket's been operating this kind of thing for ages, haven't they?
Yeah,
you spend so much time, you get vouchers to spend in the same shop.
Yeah. Forget it, Mark. We're not doing that one because there's nothing new in this, is it? Switch your current account. Yeah, all right. Yeah, fine. Good. We'll give you 100 quid or one will give you a tenner. Yeah, well, that's really good for Christmas, isn't it? I keep thinking of that word that I don't want to say. Here's a really bad... No, I'll tell you what, we won't do the really bad one. Let's go and have a look at this young lady and see what the people feel about this. This is absolutely incredible. I'm not going to pass an opinion, but this woman phoned the police in Britain, right? In the southeast of England. I've got a name. I can name her if I want to, right? Phoned the police to say that somebody nicked a snowman.
Yes. It probably just melted, actually.
Well, that's what I thought. That's what I thought, yeah. Why is your snowman not longer there?
Absolutely amazing, isn't it? And, of course, I think part of the point of the story, actually, that this is right in the middle of, you know, a huge sort of weather emergency. So all the emergency services are overburdened anyway with, you know, very much more serious issues. This person decided to use the emergency service, I suppose the 999 service, to report the stolen snowman.
That's it. And also, and the reason she reckoned she could do it is because she put pound coins in the eyes for eyes. Yeah. So she'd lost £2. Well, I reckon if that snowman had got pound coins for his eyes, he would never get any kind of operation for that. So he's committed suicide.
Did she put coins on his eyes because it was dead?
Yeah, well, that's it, yeah.
That's what you normally do. I mean, that must have happened to John Lennon and to Elvis Presley as well, was it?
He'd have pound coins then, son.
Oh, pennies.
And they were in America. Oh, no, Jim was in Paris, wasn't he?
Oh, there we are, Franks.
He'd have had some somtings. Is that German, isn't it? Anyway, yeah. Yeah, so, yeah, and that woman, I don't think we should vilify this woman. It was a heat of the moment thing where she just thought she was that angry she did it. But it's a bit bizarre to phone the police because you think somebody's nicked your snowman, isn't it?
Yes, yeah, but I haven't been out to check on him for 5 hours, so she was going out doing regular checks. Went outside for a fag, meaning a cigarette. Yes, I mean, quite extraordinary. And, I mean, who took it? I mean, you know, this is another sad thing. I mean, does this person need £2 so badly that instead of just taking the £2, they took the whole snowman? This is quite an extraordinary person.
Well, I tell you what, all right, we've not done this for a couple of weeks, right? Let's do a postcard from Poprad investigation. Anybody who knows this woman's snowman, let's find it. Let's find who's got it. Look in your freezers. Look in your sheds. See who's got this woman's snowman and let postcard from Poprad know.
And I'm going to offer a £5 reward for the return of the snowman as long as the £2 are in there.
Yeah.
And return it to Lee, please.
I'll offer for one eye. I'll pay for one eye. Right. Hang on. We're running out of time rapidly. So, Mr. Mark, I'm going to take you to a place I'm sure you don't want to go.
Oh, no.
Yeah. You ready?
Yeah.
Right, you ready? We're going. Are these really the world's celebrities? I'm just going to read you this list.
I know so little about celebrities.
Well, let's see how many of these you've heard of.
Right.
Right. Should we start at the bottom? Let's start at the bottom. Let's do it the way Eric does it. Let's start at number 10 and work up to the beginning. You ready?
Yeah.
Give us a drum roll. That is the crappiest drum roll I've ever heard in my life. Right, you ready? Right. At number 10, Katy Perry.
Sorry, Katy who?
Well, yeah, she's the one who's actually canoodling with Russell Brand.
Oh, Russell. Oh, right. Yeah. Russell Brand.
He's probably one of the world's funniest comedians at the moment. But somehow, because of his peccadilloes, Katy Perry's number 10 in the list of the world's greatest celebrities. Mm. What about Peter Andre? He's at number 9.
Yes, well, I've just shrug him off with his trademark cheery grin.
Number 8. Now, I've got to hold my hands up here. Even I don't know who he is. They describe him as a squeaky clean Canadian from a Christian background. And he's leapt across from YouTube into mainstream pop idol without ruffling a hair on his mop-topped head. Who wrote that? Justin Bieber at number 8, ladies and gentlemen. And moving swiftly on to number 7. Megan Fox!
Well, I've heard of Megan Fox, yes.
Who is she?
Heard of her.
I've heard. What does she do?
I'm not quite sure. But apparently she's... Well, I mean, she's her name's made now because she's finally wed her boyfriend. So
who's that?
Somebody Brian called Austin Brian Green? Austin Green.
Who's he?
Megan Fox's husband.
Now he used to be a boyfriend, you know. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's right. He changed his status.
Oh, yeah. All right, number six. Now we've all heard of her.
Oh,
is she really halfway up the world's greatest celebrity list? The one and only.
Victoria Beckham.
Beckham.
And is she on her way up or on her way down?
Ah, no, that's a good point. When you're in the middle, you don't know, do you?
No,
that's
you
a
really
very
don't.
Good point, yeah. Mr. Fogg. Yeah, yeah. Get in the middle. Are you on your way up or on your way down?
Yeah.
This, but this was a year when Beckham got her head down and continued the development of her fashion label. Good on her!
Right, yes.
Number
well, that is
five.
Good for her, actually. I mean, she seems to be an independent career woman, which is great.
I think she is too. I think that's excellent. Yes, yes. Well done, Victoria Beckham. Angelina Jolie, she's at number five.
Mm. Jolie's most worthy act in 2010 is her decision to donate together with her partner. I thought she was going to donate her partner, Brad Pitt. But together with her partner, Brad Pitt.
I wasn't reading that.
Well, I didn't know who she is, actually, so I thought I'd steal your lines.
All right, here's one. Now, I really genuinely don't know who he is. John Terry is at number four.
Well, he sounds like a footballer to me, and we talked about football last week, and I don't
so
know anything
about
football.
Either, yeah. No. What's he saying? It then came out with Terry assuming the mantle of a grumbler. Oh, maybe he should come on the show. He's a grumbler in chief.
Right. Okay.
Yeah, right. Yeah, okay. Lady Gaga at number three!
Yeah, well, I have to say, I've never really sort of taken her very seriously, but I was reading a little bit of her sort of bio on sort of Wikipedia and other places, and in fact, she's a pretty impressive woman.
She is.
She didn't get where she is just by, you know, being a very attractive person.
Here's a comment, right? Because we ain't got long left. Here's a comment on the internet about her, and I think it's really true. It's humanity, if they've searched the internet, if they've Googled proof that God exists, there's been 10 billion of them, right?
Yeah.
Googled proof that God exists. Proof that Lady Gaga is a man has actually had 52 billion. Unbelievable. We've got 30 seconds to go, so I'm finishing this list. At number two is Katy Price.
Yes.
Is she famous because of Alex Reed wearing a dress, or is she famous in her own right? And at number one, the one and only Cheryl Cole. Who's she? Who's Cheryl Cole?
Well, isn't she got...
We're going. We're off.
I'm
this
just
is
trying
the
to think,
end of the show.
Wasn't she an ex-friend of Lance Armstrong?
Bye, world. Bye-bye. With you.
Good night. Goodbye.
Radio Tatras International, from the heart of Europe to the world.